Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We call upon your Holy Spirit to open our minds and to give us understanding and revelation. Lord, that we may be able to receive everything that the word that we are going to share contains, that we may be able, Lord, to accept it and see it working in our lives. We just praise and thank you in advance for the things you're going to do. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, this is this series has to do with the power of the biblical meditation. And this is really, I want to stress, the importance of this topic. Because it's a topic that has an enormous impact on our what happens to us as believers. You know, if you see what's going on today in the church, you can see that there are developing two extremes. In one direction, you know, the people that believe that God doesn't work anymore the way it worked before. And all the gifts and the supernatural is gone, and we had to just go mentally. They renounce practically or reject 3/4 of the Bible. And then there are those instead that they, you know, believe anything that comes around. And they end up getting off a tangent in things that are not the Holy Spirit, and they think they are the Holy Spirit. And that kind of ditch on the other side of the street is getting fuller and fuller. Yeah. And there's a lot of confusion. And the reason for that is actually the topic we are talking about today. The lack of understanding of how meditation works, the power of it, and the dangers are associated with anything that has power. You know, just because a car is very powerful and can be dangerous to go around with, you don't stop. No, you stop buying it. Okay? Because, you know, a knife can cut your fingers when you got it. It's not that you stop using knives. Tools are there to be used with some wisdom and with some understanding. If you use the wrong tools to do things the wrong way, you're going to hurt yourself. And the same thing is with meditation. You have to understand the way it works, because, you know, meditation is used by, you know, not just believers, but everybody. I mean, you go in Eastern religion, they use meditation. But it's different from what we're supposed to do. And the important thing to understand, even, you know, going back to Christianity, you know, mystics, Christian mystics have been around from the very beginning. But if you see some of the worst revelations and doctrines that came up in Christianity come from just from them. And if we don't understand that, we just end up doing things that are, instead of helping us, are going to damage us. We had to have the wisdom to know how to have the understanding of how that works, and to have the understanding on how to make it work for us in the right way. See, tools are tools, but the way you use them is going to make a difference. And, you know, I've seen that many years ago. And I use that understanding to guide me in the things that are happening these days. So that I don't get falling into the ditches, because that's what happens, you know, this blind leading the blind, what happens, they end up both falling into the ditch. That's the way Jesus said it. We need to have the understanding, because it's the understanding that helps us to keep the right way. So I hope to explain things in such a way that you can understand it. Okay. Now, the basic idea about meditation, you know, meditation is not something strange. You meditate all the time anyway. If you think, you meditate. Hello? Because meditation basically is thinking, is directed thinking. But you have to see where you direct it. Because where you direct it makes all the difference. Okay? We're going to see the way these things work in detail. I'm going to take my time, because I think this is such an important topic that when you understand it, you're not going to be fooled anymore by the things that are going around, and you're going to be able to get the right balance about things. You know, Proverbs 23:7 says, as man thinks in his heart, so is he. So that shows the importance. You see, thinking is not just thinking, but thinking in your heart. So as to get to a certain level inside yourself. You know, the thinking that goes on in your head is different from the thinking that goes on in your heart. And you have to start recognizing the difference, and you have to recognize when you are actually operating at that level. I said last week, you know, if you are stuck, if you are in a place in which you cannot progress, it's because, not because of God, it's because of yourself. You are thinking the wrong way. Wrong thinking produces wrong results. Okay? And so we have to understand what is right thinking and how to use right thinking. Well, the Bible provides us with all the information. You know, the Word of God is the basis for us to direct in our thinking. It's powerful because it connects us in our thinking with God's way of thinking. And as all the power that God put into it, making it available to us. So it's not just a question of thinking anything. It's thinking about what the Word of God says that makes a difference. Now, that doesn't mean that if you think continuously, meditate on other things, you are not going to produce results. I give you some example. I mean, I'm going to just use the word here instead. Let's go to James chapter 1. And I'm going to show you the temptation and thinking and meditation are exactly the same thing. They can be the same thing. They're actually only the opposite, one from the other. Meditation is thinking the way God thinks. Temptation is thinking the way God does not think, contrary to what God thinks. But the effect is equally powerful in both cases when we fall into that. Let's start with James chapter 1, verse 12. It says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, endure temptation doesn't mean that you know, you, first of all, it's blessed, the man endures temptation. So, you know, you go around to your tent and, oh, I'm so blessed. That's not what it's saying. All right? You would agree with that. All right. So it says, blessed the man endures temptation. Enduring as a specific meaning means to hold on against. Means to sustain without impairment or yielding to it. That's what enduring is. So you, the one that is going to be able to stand temptation is going to be blessed. All right? It's not that one is tempted. You know, you can be a place in which you, in one area you are not even tempted. Thoughts come to you and they just don't do it, don't have any impact on you because that area doesn't affect you. And we can see why in a moment. But you see, as we see the process of temptation and we see the process of meditation into receiving God's promises and thinking, you can see it's the same process with the same steps in both cases. It's just it's the opposite way that is, you are directed. All right? Now, the fact that you go, you receive the crown of life, that goes to promise, you know, to love him, you know, the fact is that you receive the crown of life is just a question of victory. You get victorious, you get success, you get, you know, the things, you are overcomer. That's what it means. Okay, but you have to, that's why you overcame temptation. Okay? Let's continue verse 13. Let no one say that when he's tempted, I'm tempted to God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. And this is lots of people believe, you know, tempted, the word tempted or testing is the same thing anyway. And so people say, well, you know, I'm going through this stuff or that because God is testing me. God, if you want to take it anyway, just this is a scripture. It says God is not going to test you. So that idea is just starting to get off a tangent. It's not according to God's way. God is not going to do that to you. He wants to bless you, not test you. The fact that you are tested, there is a reason for that. And it's given later on. Verse 14. But each one is tempted, or test is the same thing, when he, each one is tempted, when he has drawn away by his own desire and enticed. So you see, unless there is a desire, unless there is an opening up there about, say, for example, it's thinking of doing something that God does not like. Okay. Maybe stealing. Maybe some sexual thoughts. Some other things that are out of place. And we, if the thought comes and there is not a need there or a desire there, you just doesn't even have an effect on you. Just doesn't stay there. The fact is, if there is a hook in you in that particular area, then you open up to it and you start dwelling in the thought. But the beginning is just a thought. Depending on the way you yourself are set up, you're going to respond to that. Hello? So when there is a temptation that comes and you feel tempted, that means there is a problem in that area in your life already. Now we are human and we had experiences, so these things can happen. The point is you know that at the moment there is something that is not quite right and needs to be fixed. Okay? Now let's continue. Verse, so it's drawn away by his own desire. Desires can be, you know, translated also lusts, or especially of things, that word there in Greek, especially means for things that are forbidden. Okay? Are forgiven, but you still want it in a way or another. There is an attachment there. It says, and enticed. The word there, enticed, is really trapped or caught by a bait. So really the idea is that this is a bait in front of your nose. And you are there, and you, depending on the way you are, if you don't, there is nothing inside you, it doesn't even attract you. If there is something inside you, then you start going after it. All right? Let's continue here. It says, then when the desires is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. Now, you know, they conceived there. Let's talk about that. Because, you see, when there is no desire there, there is not going to be any conception. Why? I mean, the word conception there, is actually the word that's used on time, even with women, I mean, a child. Okay, and the meaning, the word there is interesting because the word that we use, part of it anyway, we use lambano to receive. But there is sulambano, which actually means actually that we are, you know, we want it. Okay? There is a, see, you know, we grasp it. We take it. You know, we seize it for ourselves. We, you know, there is a question of wanting it for ourselves, okay, to catch it. So really, unless there is this desire to catch it, it's not going to be conceived. Conception comes when you agree with and you allow it to happen. Hello? See, that's just, you know, temptation doesn't work if you don't have a problem already. But if you have a problem, you know, if you have that, the temptation comes and you know that this is not in agreement with God's words, you know that there is a problem and you have to fight it, and God has provided you the tools to do that. Are you following me? When he's, but before produces, at the beginning, you just do fall into the sin on the moment, you know, follow, you know, you miss the mark. But missing the mark doesn't necessarily go has to be fully grown. And you have to really be completely grown, in, has to grow inside you to, until it takes over. And so you are in agreement with it to produce death. Are you following what I'm saying? Do you see the implication? So he said temptation or the fulfillment of temptation is a process. There are different steps. There is a question of where you are, yourself, that produces, you know, there is a thought, start with a thought, connects with an emotion or a desire, is the same thing. When you want it, you conceive it. There is a conception, you start agreeing, you take it for yourself, you grasp it. And finally, when you grasp it, it's going to produce the result. Now, how you stop temptation? Well, don't let it go forward. I mean, you don't conceive it. You stop when a temptation comes. The later you wait for fighting it and taking a position, the more difficult it is. By the time you conceive it, you're done. You're going to do it. No matter as soon as you had the opportunity, you're going to do it. Are you following what I'm saying? So the idea is that this is the way it works for temptation. But they say it works for any other things. Any thought that is in you is either in agreement with God's word or is in disagreement with God's words. When it's in disagreement with God's words and you know it, it's a temptation. When he's not in disagreement, when he's in agreement, then he's not a temptation, it's something that possibly, but you have to know the word to be able to decide. Now, there are some things, even in the word, that you shouldn't be meditating on. Because they're not constructive. They're not helping you. You know, if the only thing you think is about the devil is in the word, isn't it? So what happens? You think about the devil, everything, the devil is everywhere, you only see the devil, you know. The more you focus on something, the more power you give to that. You should be focusing on God, not on the devil. You shouldn't be meditating on all the demonic stuff. You should be meditating on all the blessing that God can give you. That's what Philippians says. What things of ever is beautiful, what things of ever a good report, what things of ever is lovely, what things of ever, you know, all these things. You know, evidently you had to direct your thought, and that's what meditation is. See, there is a difference. Why is so difficult sometimes to meditate on the right stuff? Because when you meditate on the things of God, it's because you want to change something. Okay? Because you want to change, for example, you know, if you need healing, well, you want to change your situation, which is not being healed at the particular moment. Or if you want to grow into the Lord and to grow into understanding, it's because you don't understand certain things. So, you see, the things that you meditate on for the Lord are more difficult because you don't see them in front of your nose. Because they don't have sometimes the response, emotional response within yourself that is needed to be producing in your heart the result that you'll be producing. You see, what's happening in your heart is what counts. When you open up yourself to a thought that is wrong, it's because in your heart there is already something there. And that something is the wrong desire generated by possibly wrong exposure, wrong ideas, wrong thing on the past. They have accumulated through time. So there is a weakness in your system to make you tend to go that way. When you want to change something, you're going against current. When you, not only that, but to say, for example, you want to be healed and you start meditating on it in scriptures, you have your symptoms in your body that are there telling you the opposite of what the word says. So they are going to have an effect on you, the way you respond. You know, your heart is affected by what the senses tell. And they are there all the time. You don't need to do anything. They're speaking all the time to you. And what you're trying to do is to substitute that message that comes to you with another message that is going to enable you to what? To be able to see with your heart, agree with your heart about the reality, this different reality that is there that God has promised to you. So you're going against current. Are you following me? So it's more going to be more difficult because you are fighting against your own senses. Now, the idea is that this is important to understand. So, you know, the materialization, the fulfillment of the meditation, once reached your heart, it's automatic, it's effortless. You don't need to be there trying to get healed. You don't need to be there trying to do the right thing. Because when you are being washed inside about the wrong desire and the wrong thing, it's natural for you to do the right thing. But the washing has to happen before, and the washing happens through meditation, through agreeing with what God is saying, through allowing the word to start changing you the way you see reality around you. And the way you respond to reality around you. So that should help you in understanding what you do when you're meditating on things and the way it works within you. But you can do that in a negative way, even with the word. I mean, you know, some orders of nuns or stuff like that they meditate on the suffering of Jesus and they get stigmata in their hands. This is not what God wants. Jesus paid all the prices already that needed to be paid for, and we don't need to pay again for that. What we had to meditate on isn't the victory, the fact that he was resurrected. He overcame these things. So we don't need to go through them again. That is wrong. See, but what you, that shows they're meditating. But they're meditating on the wrong stuff. Produces results, even in the physical. But you can see, apply that in general, and you can see how one can, take an area that sexual attraction, that is a very power in which we have natural feeling inside ourselves. Okay, how can a minister? I tell you an actual story that happened, so that you know. In this kind of revivals that goes on these days, that are really not from God, because there is a lot of junk happening in them. You know, a minister, you know, fell under the Spirit, and it's okay. There is nothing wrong with falling under the Spirit. It depends on what's going on. It depends about having discernment of what's happening. Under the Spirit, next to him falls a woman, and falls under the Spirit too. And the two of them, while they are there, they go before Jesus, and Jesus married them. That's what they got. The problem is the guy, the minister was already married. So what happened? Well, you know, the Lord married us, so you know, left his wife and went with this other woman. That was the results of this kind of quotation marks revivals. I mean, can you see that this is junk? And it's because they were meditating on this probably anyway. You meditate on the wrong thing, you're going to get it. Now you can get it at a lower level. You don't need to see Jesus. The point is, what I'm telling you is that you had to take charge of your mind and control your thoughts and make sure that they are according to God's direction, not according to the way you feel. The sad part is that these people believe what they experience. When instead what has to happen is our experience should be submitted to the Word. Amen. Okay? We have to weed everything out that doesn't line up with the Word. Hallelujah. See, Psalm 119, verse 11. It says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you." Do you see that the word itself gives us the way to deal with temptation? See, you don't deal with temptation because I'm so spiritual, because you count on yourself. Is because the word has been operating in you and you are strong in it. And so you can stand temptation and you can do what the right thing is. Are you following what, do you see the consequences of what I'm talking about? Just because somebody says, "Lord, Lord," doesn't mean anything. Okay. So this is why, James says after verse 16, "Do not be deceived, beloved brethren. Every good thing and every perfect gift come from above, come from the Father of light, and there is no variation and shadow of turning." This is why I just finished saying he's not going to tempt you. If you start believing that God tempts you to make you grow up, really, this is a deception. Because then, you know, well, you know, this is okay. Well, if you believe that, don't even pray for that. Just be tempted. Well, God is trying to do something with you. It means nothing, you know. Like people say, well, you know, the disease that is just God putting it on me to make me grow. Well, just don't go to the doctor, because otherwise you're going against God's will. Take the whole experience. What is nonsense? You see what stupid thinking people fall into just because they are religious, without the understanding that is behind, that we need to be able to get anywhere. Okay. Hallelujah. What time is it? Okay. So what I'm saying is, you know, meditation is the opposite of temptation. It works the other way around. But the process are the same. Now, that shows us that we have to really focus on the right thing when we pray. You see, even prayer. Prayer is nothing else, it's thinking, it's meditation. So when you think according to the way God thinks and is the right way, prayer is going to be effective in producing the right result. When you pray the wrong way and is in disagreement with the word of God for one reason or another, like, for example, when you pray, God, please heal me, when God's already healed you according to the word of God, then you are not going to be praying according to God's ideas. What you should say, God, thank you for what Jesus did on Calvary. And you start meditating on that, so they're manifesting you, but there has to be producing what? Effect in your heart. The effect in your heart means that you can see in your heart. When you can see it in your heart, images are produced inside you. This is why we conceive things. When you are tempted, you see images of the things that you shouldn't be doing. Hello? Amen. So when you want God to work in you to change your life, you have to start seeing yourself that way. This is why probably one of the most important meditation that you can do is what the Bible says, that you are now in Christ. What he did for you, that it should be manifested in you, so that you start meditating on that, so that it becomes a reality for you and you stop walking like the flesh and the world. Are you still there? Good. I think we can do a confession here. Hallelujah. This is part of the meditation part, which is actually just speaking it out. And we're going to talk a bit more about that. Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For everything you have done for me.
You are my Father.
I am your child.
Praise you.
In your own, you brought me forth with the word of truth. You do not tempt me.
You protect me.
You bless me. I have hidden your word in my heart, so that I may not sin against you. I am blessed.
I am fruitful.
I can receive your promises.
I am an overcomer.
I can do all things in Christ
who strengthen me.
I can overcome
temptations
because your word
is active in me
and is changing my reality,
is changing my emotions,
is changing everything
that I do
and think.
And Jesus,
I thank you for that.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And amen.
Praise the Lord. So, you see, this is why, you know, when it says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God in Romans 10:17, really, see, when we speak the word, when we make the confession, you know, what happens is faith comes to us. You see, vista, what does it mean? Well, we should start be able to see the reality of what we are saying. The reality of what the Word says. If the Word says we are forgiven, we don't go around feeling guilty. Not because we say, you know, don't tell me because I'm forgiven. Not because we don't feel that way, because we know that the things are gone from us. Okay, we are not just forgiven because He has forgiven us, but because of the things we have repented about it. That means that we have renounced those stuff. And when we realize that maybe, you know, we are really not renounced really because we are being tempted again, we go and we repent even of being tempted again. We don't want the thing to be in us. We don't want to have any attachment to that kind of things because we know that they are not going to produce the result that we want. We are going to take us off mark. That means sinning is really to be off mark. And so we are going to miss off mark of what? Be missing the connection and the reality of God working in us. So you see, our meditation, understanding the way these things work is important. Because otherwise we go through this process and we don't know even what's happening. Hallelujah. See, this is not only that, but there is so much more about this. Okay? But we have to understand that our speaking it out is a component of this. It's not just a question of making affirmation. It's a question that we produce in ourselves a different image. Our faith can develop, and our faith doesn't grow. You know, the faith has to get to the point when we really see it. We see ourselves that way. You know, this is why, you know, reading in Romans chapter 10, you know, there's all the instruction about, you know, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. See, it has to be in both places. If it's not in your heart and you speak it out, you are just planting it in yourself. You are not going to produce result. The first result it has produced is the fact that it's inside your heart so that you can actually see and accept that as a reality. And you know when that happens, because you go around, even if you don't feel well, you say, praise the Lord, I have the victory. And when you don't feel that way, you say, oh, wait a minute, you know, I'm caving in. You see, because our position is not constant. It's not that once saved, always saved. You know, if you go around sinning, your salvation is going. That's what this you know, the James was talking to Christians. So that means, you know, if you are tempted and you give in, that produces sin. And sin, if it comes to full maturity, it becomes death. That means you're gone. Not physically, but spiritually. Okay? Do you see that? You see how important, really, is to make the connection in both sides. You want to progress? See, you know, one of the reasons why there is the confusion today in many churches, including charismatic churches, because they don't understand the principle I just shared with you. There are about 15 years ago showed me this truth. And I saw the direction I was taking. As people were using references about, you know, meditation is scriptural. But wrong meditation is damaging. When you start meditating the wrong way, you are going to be messed up. You don't know anymore if it's the Holy Spirit or not the Holy Spirit. You're going to have supernatural manifestation, but they're not going to be from the Holy Spirit. You're going to have stuff that you made up yourself, and the devil is using and is imitating the Holy Spirit. I remember discussing this with lots of pastors here in Ottawa. And they didn't agree with me. And I said goodbye. I cannot mix with you because I will not accept ideas that are wrong and are evidently demonic, and you're calling in the Holy Spirit. Demons don't go, you know, demons go around making animal noises, not the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's clear. Demons give you spastic tics and you can't do anything. You know, not the Holy Spirit. And you cannot do anything about them. But when you get delivered, they go away. So the point is that many don't see that as being a problem. And so they call the Holy Spirit a demonic manifestation. That's why the other things like the stuff with the pastor I shared to you happen. Because they open up themselves before. Okay. One more thing and we close with that. Hebrew chapter 11, verse 3. I remember when I got the revelation of this, it was many years ago. Hebrew 11, 3 says, by faith we understand that the world were framed by the word of God. The world were framed by the word of God. So that things which are seen were not made by the things which are visible. You know, you can say, well, you know, when you believe, you know, you can believe that. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about experience here. You're going to see that the things that you, when you operate in faith, you get results the same way as God gets results. He speaks things into existence that weren't there before, that were not be able to be seen. And because you see that, you start understanding how faith works. If you didn't have that experience, you cannot know what faith is. Doesn't matter how many PhD in theology you have. That is really such an important verse for us to understand and to take a position that we should be able to do the same. And we are going to see how actually the word says about that, so that when we stand in a certain position, we cannot even be moved. We are in the position to receive from God everything that he has done for us, because there is no doubt inside us. We are stable, we are strong in the word. Amen. I think maybe that couple of more verses just to finish this section here. Okay. John chapter 6, verse 63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life, flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. You know, the words there is rhema. So the question is, when the word becomes really God speaking to us, when we receive, that means, you know, when it gets down to the level of our spirit, that's when becomes rhema. It's not when it's just there in your mind. You can read the scripture and they just mean nothing. When they mean nothing, they do nothing. Okay? But when, so they had to speak to your heart. When they speak to your heart, they have an effect on you. The effect on you that you actually start to see in your heart, because that faith see things. See the impact of that word. And the word is going to produce the fruit that God sent it for, because it's spoken to you by him. And they produce life, Zoe, the life of God, not just life. You know, they produce changes inside you, evident changes, okay? And so this is the thing that they had to reach your spirit. And meditation is the passage between your mind and your spirit. Hallelujah. See, that's why Psalm 19:14 says that let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. See, when we speak in faith and meditate, you see, that's when we speak in faith, when we speak the word of God, when we really believe it. You know, if we say things that are empty, don't mean anything. You know, we can go around worshiping the Lord and wasting our time because we don't mean it anyway. He doesn't want that kind of worship. It has to be in spirit and in truth. It's not a ceremony. It's the reality and experience that you have with him. And when it's reality, as impacts your reality. See, his reality becomes your reality. Hallelujah. And this is why we have to be careful. And I'm closing with this. What we say. Our mouth should line up with our spirit and should line up with the word of God. And that all the time. And we have to learn to agree. See, any time that we say contrary to the word of God, a word contrary to God, we are lying. We are not speaking the truth. Even it could be facts, but they are not really reality from God's point of view, from the spiritual point of view. We should, for us to line up with God, we have to line up completely in our spirit. And if our spirit is lined up, then our mouth is going to line up too. See the implications of that. Let's make an example here. I mean, relationships. Somebody says something that you don't like, and you get upset. What the word says? Be angry, but sin not. How do you sin? You open your mouth. And you say things that are in disagreement with what God says. And not necessarily, you know, swear even. You can say things that are murdering the other person in your heart. And that's wrong. Are you following what I'm saying? See, we had to learn to allow God to work in us and see when there is something inside us that makes us stop. Do differently, then we had to come against it and not allow to come out. See, the temptation. Let's talk about the way we talked about before, temptation. You know, something happened, we didn't like it, and then we got upset. You know, instead of dealing with it the way God wants us to deal with it, we deal with the flesh. So we go against God's direction. And when we go against God's direction, we hurt the other person, but we hurt ourselves much more. Because we damage our relationship with God. I mean, that's sin. Now we say, well, I'm going to repent. You know, repenting is not good enough. Damage is done. Once you got life in you, you don't want death to start coming inside you. Okay. You see, I could give you lots of examples on how this works within us. But when, you know, I want you to meditate on what we have been sharing with you today. So that you can see the application, the practical application to your life, so that you can, instead of being tossed around by what goes around you. You take charge of what you're going to do with your life. And you move on instead of being shipwrecked, because that's what happens. See, when we allow these things to happen, we go shipwrecked and we damage ourselves, we damage others, and this is what the problem is often we experience. All right. You know, you can say, oh my goodness, this is hard. Yeah, it's hard, but that, you know, that's victory. That is the way we are going to be overcomers. You are not going to be overcomers by just letting things happen. You have to take your life in your hand, because God expects that from you. God has given us everything that we need to do it. He has given us spiritual weapons that are mighty. The word is mighty to take down strongholds. But if you don't use it, and if you don't allow it to work in you, it's not going to, you know, I mean, you can get a gun in your house. If you, you know, if you need to use it, use it. If you don't use it, don't say, you know, I didn't have any ability. Well, wait a minute. All right, let's close in prayer. You're still there today?
Yes.
Well, that's good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word.
Thank you
that by applying it to my life, I can have victory. You guarantee this victory to me as I yield to your Holy Spirit and allow your word to change my life and give me everything that you provided by what Jesus did. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.